Thanks, everyone. You can be seated. Thank you. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Would you mind just sitting just for a bit more, please, Josh? Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Bless the Lord. I've just been sort of like struggling with, but not struggling against, the weight of God. I don't know whether anyone else is dealing with that at late. Of late, the weight, but not just here, but at home. He's so real and he wants to make himself so real to us, his presence, that we'd not only know that he's with us and he's in us and he's for us, but we would experience his presence, the tangible weight of the glory, the goodness, the manifestation of God. And, you know, we ought to learn to savour those moments, because as we savour them and we embrace them and we draw near, we continue to draw near, we experience a greater manifestation of him. Yeah? So, Father, we just welcome you in this place to do what you would desire to do this morning. We know that in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasure forevermore. So we embrace beforehand all that you want to do this morning, Lord, and we're grateful for what you've done and continue to do. And we thank you that Spirit of wisdom and revelation reveals Jesus like never before this morning, new facets of his beauty revealed to us, Lord, that would cause us to want to run into him like never before and embrace him like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thanks, Josh. Thank you, Jesus. Well, where's... what we'll be speaking tonight, today, or actually making way for, is one house and many hands, is something that's on our hearts. But before we actually go into that, which it will be over a couple of few weeks, it's like I really believe God wanted to build a foundation, position us to hear the word that's to come. And in doing that, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 just to begin. From verse 12, this is after Paul had been speaking about spiritual gifts. And he goes on to say in verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased." I love that. He has set us in the body just as he pleased. In the place that he created us to be and imparted the grace into each and every one of us to function in that place. Amen? Bless the Lord. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Someone say one. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Man, we'd be pretty dysfunctional, wouldn't we? Amen? But no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker than necessary, weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think are less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honour to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honoured, all the members rejoice in that. Don't you love that? Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Bless the Lord. What he's talking about is a function, a body that functions in the unction or the anointing in the graces that God has bestowed on each and every one of us. And this wonderful analogy of looking at the body in the natural, bringing a parallel to the body in the spirit. Amen? Which one of us would say, hand, I have no need of you? And because I'm an eye or a foot, you have no need of me. I believe as we look into this study and we in the coming weeks, because today I want to talk about a position, the position in which we function from, because the positioning is so, so important. Amen? But we're all given these gifts. So we're all given gifts to actually function in. And, you know, they're so familiar to us, sometimes we don't honour them in ourselves. We don't see the importance in the function or the graces that are upon our life because they actually are supernatural. In other words, it comes natural to us. Amen? But God wants to define it so that we can align it and actually take our places in the body, that we can be functioning as one. Yeah? Each one of us empowered to function together as one. Hallelujah. One house, many, many hands. But today I want to look at the posture that we serve, we're to serve from. We'll be looking soon into the grace, the motivational gifts. We'll be looking into the spiritual gifts and we'll be looking into the ministry gifts. But today I want to talk about the posture that we serve from in the graces that we carry. So let's go to Mark 10. There's a lot of scripture today. Bless the Lord. Amen. Scripture's a good preach. Hallelujah. Mark 10, verse 35. And we see here then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give you. But it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John, what they felt they were missing out. But Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be the first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Whoa. I believe that one of the most impacting accounts of the Bible is when Jesus comes to serve the 12 disciples and humanity, and he states it here in verse 45. I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. And that was his posture. We're talking about the Son of God. That was his posture. The position that he came into was one of prostration. Amen? The King of all glory, but he comes to lay all down and to serve with his whole life. Wow. He asks here in this account, what do you want me to do for you? You know, when I was meditating on these scriptures, as you probably can see, impacted me so deeply yet again. And I know that there's different lenses in which to view it, which are all truth, because the truth is multifaceted, though it says the same thing. But I couldn't help to be impacted by their question, because I sensed in a way they didn't really understand whose presence they were in. Because if they did, I believe they would have positioned themselves at his feet and said, what do you want me to do for you? It took me a while to get over. That's where sonship and servanthood collide. What do you want me to do for you? You see, he's actually given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's filled us with gifts. He's filled us with callings, and they're all to be laid at the feet. Amen? What do you want me to do for you? Hallelujah. When someone serves as a son, they're not looking for recognition. We live as a son with the heart of a servant. Jesus our Lord lived as a son with the heart of a servant. And I know the word that I'm bringing this morning is very sobering, but I can't help but be deeply impacted by what he's saying in these scriptures. And I believe he wants us deeply impacted by this. Hallelujah. What do you want me to do for you? He asks the question. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? They said, well, I want to sit at your right hand, another one at your left. And he says, but you do not know what you're asking. You don't understand what you're asking. So often we don't know what we are asking for when we ask for great things, though God wants us to ask for great things because he's called us to do great things. But often we don't understand what we're asking for because we're ignorant of the responsibility that comes with the request and the process of change that must take place in us before we can carry the weight of what we're asking for. That's a good word right there. We can find ourselves looking for what has always been there but just not recognizing it. And the steps that need to be taken for the laying down of it in order to take it up again. You see, whatever he gives us needs to be laid down in order to take it up again. See, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down in order to take it up again. But it's in the laying down that comes the taking up. Oh, hallelujah. The laying down of the gifts. The laying down of the celebrity status. The laying down of the self-promotion, what you self-promote, you have to continue to promote. What God promotes, he sustains. Hallelujah. 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 The steps that need to be taken for the laying down of it and then taking it up again. The least becomes the greatest. Can we get a hold of the truth that when we serve one another, we are serving him? When we serve the body, we are serving him. You know, it takes you into a place of freedom when we know that we're actually serving one another. We are serving him, so unto him be the glory. Amen? Amen? The glory for what he has placed in us to serve each other with, because the gifts and the callings are from God and they're without repentance. So God is resurrecting some, even as I'm speaking, that have maybe been put to bed. But God's saying, wake up, rise from the dead. Amen. Awakening the things that are asleep in us, the gifts, the callings, the attributes that he's placed in us for a time such as this. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we get a hold of the truth that when we serve one another, we're serving him? You know, when we serve one another, if we're in that position of we're actually serving him because we're serving the body, we're not going to get hung up when we don't receive the thanks that we think we should receive in this life. Amen? We'll catch that maybe a little bit later. Matthew 25, verse 40 says, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You did it for me. You know, there'd be people here that are maybe long-term, have been serving in different areas and not feel as if they've ever really been appreciated for what they have done. But God's saying, hey, get a hold of this. You did that for me. You did that for me. Amen? And as we give it to him, you know, there's a redemptive side to this. As we begin to acknowledge some things, even within this message this morning, the things that we've served, the areas that we served, the things that we've done and never ever felt like we were appreciated the way we needed to be, we were looking for self. We were looking for the favor of man. We were looking for the applause of man within that. But God's saying, if you just repent of that right now, I'll redeem it back to you and I'll receive it as a gift unto me, given for my glory, done for my glory. Oh, bless the Lord. Done for my glory. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's the redemptive nature of God, that he would take what we actually did for our own affirmation. When we repent, he says, hey, I'll take it now as unto me. I'll see it as done as unto my glory. Let him land on some things this morning. Amen. Bless the Lord. It is so good, because he doesn't want any of us living in a sense of regret. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He wants to gather up the fragments. Unto him he sees it all. He sees it all, and it's so redemptive. When we serve each other from that posture, a place of privilege and not entitlement, we can look to the ones we're serving who don't see it all, and we can get offended by them. But as we begin to say, Lord, it's unto you, and we begin to forgive because their heart doesn't see the sacrifice that you've put in. Humanity doesn't see what you've put in. They don't understand what you've put in. They don't understand the hard yards. They don't understand the commitment. They don't understand the sacrifice. He does. And you know, when we release them from that, we say they've got no idea the hours that have been put in. They've got no idea what the sacrifice that it's taken. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It puts you in a place where you're free to love and serve without reward from them. Sometimes no thanks. I said sometimes no thanks, not even a see you later. Because they don't understand. He knows that I hope this is hanging together for you. I just need to get this out this morning. I need a tissue. Someone help me. Ooh, I don't know whether I'm crying or laughing right now. Oh, here. Oh, yeah, I'm up here. Oh, gee. Oh. Hey.
You're doing good.
You know, you really get to the stage where you don't care anyway. On camera. Oh, Lord Jesus. Jesus said to them, are you able to drink the cup? In other words, you want to be here, man. You want to be on this platform, but do you want to drink the cup? Are you willing to drink the cup? Are you willing to partake of the baptism? Yeah? Bless the Lord. Which baptism is he talking about? Turn with me to Luke 12:50. It says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. He's saying, I am distressed about this baptism that I am about to be baptized in. He's talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about his death. So what he's saying is, are you willing to die to have that place? Are you willing to die to have that place? Are you willing to partake of the same baptism? Amen? Now, we know that each one of us now are seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? But the scripture also says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. And that's what he's talking about. Are you willing to partake of the crucifixion of the old? Amen? The old man? Are you willing to crucify him? Because that's what it takes to partake. Amen? Of the same cup and the same baptism. He's saying to James and John, do you know what you are asking for? This cup that I'm about to drink is the cup of suffering unto death. Take this cup of suffering from me, he said in the Garden of Gethsemane. But then he said to God the Father, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Are you willing to live that life? Not my will, but thy will be done. Glory to God. Turn to someone and say, this is a bit sobering. But it's good for me. Bless the Lord. Luke 22:39, Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, and he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came into the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. What is he saying? He's talking about suffering by laying down temptation of sin and disobedience. What he's saying is, if sin is tempting you, get into prayer. Amen? Because prayer is where your victory is. Increase your prayer life. His presence will align you to kingdom values. His presence will align you to kingdom values. If things come and tempt you, go back to the old or go back to the inferior. He's appealing to you and he's saying, don't go with your flesh. Come and give yourself to prayer. And be realigned. Amen? Realigned in my presence. Bless the Lord. What powerful instruction he gives them. Have you noticed that? When you can get out there, when the things of the world begin to tempt you and you make an incredible choice like Jesus did, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? I'm led by your will. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Such strengthening comes from that place. If you look in Luke 22:42, it says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. Oh, his choice invited the angel to come and strengthen him. With the yes comes the strength. Amen? Hallelujah. With the yes comes the strength. Hallelujah. Verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he had come to his disciples. He found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Jesus, in his distress, prayed earnestly. The disciples fell asleep. Two totally different responses right now. You know, we have different ways of responding to trauma. Every one of us, like different ways. You know, some of us just bury our heads in the sand and pretend it's not happening. Some fight in the flesh, though we're not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We fight in the flesh and we profit nothing. Some go bush, they go off the grid. Amen? Go into a solitary place on their own, not into God, but on their own. The disciples slept. The disciples all rose up and denied Jesus. But I believe that if they had resisted the temptation to sleep and got into prayer like he asked them to, they would have been strengthened. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to someone and say, prayer strengthens you for the task. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Mark 10, let's go back there, verse 37. And they said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. The Amplifier says, majesty, in your majesty and your splendor. But Jesus said to them, you know what you're asked for. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? The disciples were looking for promotion. Oh, hallelujah. They were looking for promotion. They knew he could do anything. They'd seen him feed the 5,000. They'd seen him heal the sick. They'd seen him still the storm. Amen? Hallelujah. They knew that anything that was happening in the humanity, in people's humanity, he had the answer for. He had given them everything. The disciples were trying to position themselves in key places asking for promotion. And he reveals the key promotion related to our willingness is related. The key to it is related to our willingness, amen, to pay the price. And the price is how we handle our difficulties. God took the children of Israel in a harder place. He took them a harder way because he knew that they were going to learn something in the process. They didn't get to where they wanted to be straight off. They didn't get to do what they wanted to do straight off because there was a process. And we are all in a process. Amen? We want to embrace the spiritual gifts. We want to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to. But he says there's a process to this. Amen? I want you serving from the right platform. And that platform is prostration. Amen. I've come to serve with what he has laid on my life. I've not come for a promotion. I've not come so that I look good. I mean, strip off the celebrity thing. Amen. You see, he's looking for people who he can trust with what he's placed in them. That they would give him all the glory. All the praise. Amen? Even for what they think is insignificant. You doing okay? Holy, 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 holy. You know, when I'm talking about how difficult it is, I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew the suffering that I'm talking about isn't suffering the curse. It's not suffering sickness and disease and, you know, poverty and spiritual. It's not what I'm talking about. Look in Mark 5, verse 10, the Passion Translation. We're actually talking about suffering. The suffering he's talking about is the price for living a righteous life. Matthew 5, verse 10, Passion Translation. How enriched you are when you are persecuted for doing what is right, for then you will experience the realm of heaven's kingdom. He's saying those that endure hardship or persecution or mistreatment because they uphold what is right and just will be blessed, with the reward being the kingdom of heaven. Meaning when we live our lives, sometimes we make the wrong decisions and we suffer, but it's not for righteousness' sake. So we can't be blaming God for that. But he says, blessed are those that suffer for righteousness' sake. The kingdom belongs to them. Walking in the kingdom power belongs to those that suffer because of their righteous lives. What does that mean? God's way of doing and being right. Hallelujah. The way we handle our difficulties ties in with the responsibilities that he can entrust us with. I remember once saying to the Lord, you know, we'd been, I think, here for a few years. I can't remember. It's that many years, but a few years. And I remembered saying, I'd like some increase. Actually, some increase would be good. Increase would be really good. And he said to me, he said, Kim, you really need to learn. I need you to learn how to cast the cares of the people. Right? See, it's all because he loves us. He's a loving father. He said, I need you to learn how to cast the cares of the people to a greater degree. Because if I bring increase, carrying the cares and burdens of the people will destroy you. I knew what he had. I saw what he had. But he was saying to me, Kim, you're not ready for it yet. And he said to me after he said that, he said, you know what? He said, you're not ready to carry the burden until you learn to cast the burden. Amen? And he said, I love you too much to bring increase right now. Do you know that he cares more about you than what you can do for him? And, you know, that's what we need to be. And, you know, remember that when someone says no, the door's not ready to be opened for you. That, well, I love the gift on your life, the gift of your life. I honour the gift on your life. But I love you more than the gift that you can bring to the table. Oh, come on. Amen? I love you more than the gift can attribute to the working and the building of this church. Because I know there's a process you need to go through so that the burden that will be added to you will be not taken by you, but it'll be given to the Lord. Come on. Is anyone hearing me right now? Because so many think that people are standing in their way so that they can't actually step into what God has for them. But it's God himself that will open doors that no man can open and close doors that no man can close. In other words, man, humanity won't get in the way. When God promotes, he promotes. And no man will stand in the way. I said, no man will stand in the way. Someone needs to hear that today. Bless the Lord. You doing okay? Bless the Lord. You haven't heard from me for a few weeks, have you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone's saying, praise God for that. Hallelujah. Take me a few weeks to chew this one and to digest it. Turn with me to John 13. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God, he knew exactly where he came from and where he was going. rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. Man, he took a towel. He knew what was going on. He knew what was going down. He knew what he was about to face. And what did he do? He took a towel and he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he girded. He was girded. And he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing to you, do not, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Go to verses 3. Oh, hallelujah. Again. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. He had everything, all things. He knew where he'd come from. He knew where he was going. He knew what he had. But what did he do? He postured himself in servanthood. He postured himself in servanthood. And if you go down to verse 16, what was he saying? He's saying, I'll show you how to lead. I'll show you how to operate. I'll show you how to serve. In this context, I'll show you how to serve each other with the graces that I've placed in your life. John 13, 16, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you, you do them. Do them. He's saying, in other words, do what I do, wash each other's feet. Go low. Go low. That's a good name for a child. Go low. Not really. Go low. Go low. Wash each other's feet also. Jesus in this moment is aware that the Father has given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. And what he's about to do, he's about to put a towel over his arm and wash and wipe the feet of the disciples. You know, whatever we carry, we have because it's been given by grace through faith to each and every one of us. Here we have the greater one who we are all called to serve, bringing a demonstration of the kingdom. The son who serves. The greatest, the least. The least, the greatest. The one who empowers others have the greater influence. In this moment, I believe this is where destiny is revealed. In serving one another, destiny is revealed. This is the way life needs to be lived in the kingdom. I've got to stick to my notes because I'm running out of time. Hey, bear with me. The position he takes is that of a servant. This is the posture. This is the posture. Mark 9, 33, Passion Translation. They came to Capernaum, and as soon as Jesus was inside the house, he asked the disciples, what were you arguing about on the way here? No one said a word because they had been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Man, they are with the greatest. They are living with the greatest and they're arguing about which one is the greatest. Yep. Jesus sat down, called the 12 disciples to come around him and said to them, anyone, if anyone wants to be first, he must be content to be the last and become a servant of all. His primary assignment was to reveal the Father. Why? Because they were all orphans. Every one of them were orphans. They were lost. They didn't know their identity. They didn't know their purpose. And their purpose and their identity was only revealed as knowing God as the Father. That's where our identity is in. When we discover the gifts and callings in our lives as we go into the scriptures in the weeks ahead, our identity isn't in what we do, it's in who we are. It's in the fact that we are loved by God and we are lovers of God. Amen? Giving the privilege to serve each other with what he has given us to serve each other with. So we can't even take pride in ourselves so we can sing a good song. Amen. Or make a great sound. Or preach a good sermon. Or teach a good word. Or cook a good casserole. He's given us all the ability to function in the place that he has called us to function from. In a place of humility and service. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And love. What a great compliment would it be if someone said, I heard a good message today, but I can't remember who said it. All I know is I know Jesus better. I understand his ways more. I can't remember the person. Who was that speaker? I don't remember. All I remember is that they pointed me into a place where I could come nearer to him. Are you getting my drift? Our gifts and our resources are not for the purpose of building our own personal kingdoms. And this is where the problem started for James and John. They were interested in building their own personal kingdom. The orphan heart can serve, but the orphan heart serves to gain identity. Sons serve from identity, knowing that everything the Father has been given. Man, you can't even breathe without God. You can't breathe. He has given us breath. We can't live without God. He's given us everything. Everything is a gift from God. Your life is a gift from God. Amen. That we give him praise in everything, give praise in everything, give thanks. The son serves from a place of hope, knowing that he's building something. He's building something to carry the purposes of God in the earth, seeing that he has a purpose and that plans are unfolding. The son has this in his heart and mind. Jesus walked as a man dependent on God's provision, and he knew that he had unlimited resources. And he wanted to take his life before his time. And he said, I can call on 12 legions of angels. I know heaven's resources are available to me. But no one takes my life. I lay it down in order to take it up again. You know, there needs to be a laying down in order to take it up again. He knew he had unlimited resources, but he put a towel over his arm. We carry greatness, but But let's put a towel over our arm. I should have bought everybody a hand towel. So as we explore and discover the gifts that we carry in the weeks ahead, let's do it from a place of sonship, a place of privilege and as a servant. Amen? And begin to honour the gifts that are on our lives. You know, we need to embrace and honour the gifts that are on our own lives. Value them. They're not us. It's not, we don't need to walk in false humility. I just know this gift upon my life that I want to nurture it, I want to grow it, I want to give myself to it. I want to honour it because I know it's not me. I know it's not me. I know it's not me. You know, I've made this silly statement sometimes to the Lord and actually quite a few times over the years, quite a few times, I have said to the Lord, this is my confessions, am I really doing what you asked me to do? Is this really what you wanted me to do? And I get a vision of a part of the ministry, maybe even sometimes just an empty auditorium with seats. And he said, Kim, do you really think you did that? Do you really think you did it? And of course I know. No, Lord. I know. I didn't.